Hello. So if you are in third grade and below and you'd like to head to Children's Church, you can do that at this time. But if you want to stay in here and hang out with us, you are more than welcome to be here. For the rest of us, open in your Bible to the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark chapter 8 is where we're going to be this morning. We're going to continue our series through the Gospel of Mark, really starting a new one called Things Just Got Serious, because we're beginning the second half of Mark, in which we've gotten to a point in which Jesus has been declared the Messiah by his disciples, and all of a sudden, the tone of everything changes at that point, and things get deeply serious from here on out when Jesus is looking towards the cross. And so that's where we're going to be. So as you're turning there, we had a great week this past week, and last Sunday, I'm glad to be back with you this morning. I was gone last Sunday just to have a week off, and we went to Dinosaur Valley State Park and took June out there and showed her all the dinosaur feet and all that. It was a lot of fun. And then this week, we had our week of prayer, which was awesome. It was good for me, personally, just to come and just set aside time specifically to pray without distractions, and just to come here and pray for this church, to pray for you, to pray for me, to pray for just things happening here. And so this is a really good week for our church and for me personally, just with prayer. Now we're here and we're back in the Gospel of Mark. And so Mark chapter 8, starting in verse 34. So let's read that real quick, and we'll pray, and we'll get into it. Calling the crowd along with his disciples, he said to them, "If anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life because of me and the gospel will save it. For what does it benefit someone to gain the whole world and yet lose his life? What can anyone give in exchange for his life? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Let's pray together as we dig into God's word. And so, Father, we come before you this morning. And we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for giving it to us and allowing us to hear from you and to know who you are. And we thank you for the goodness that it tells us that you feel towards us, or that you have towards us. And so we thank you. And I pray that you would open our minds, open our hearts to hear what you want to say to us this morning. And I pray that you'd speak through me. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so this morning I do have some bad news for you. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle have decided to no longer be royals. And now, when I first heard this, you want to know what my thought was? I don't care. I couldn't care less. Like, I don't care. They're just celebrities. They're British celebrities is all they are. They're like Paris Hilton or whatever. They're just celebrities to me because they have money. And that was my standard response. You know why that's my standard response? Because I'm an American. That, hey, they have no bearing on me. They have nothing to do with me. And for most of us, that's a lot of our response all the time, okay? Whether it's about Prince Harry and Meghan Markle or not, our standard response towards people and towards people living and doing what they want is really this American idea of you do you. You do what you want. Like, for me, my thought was, well, okay. And then Dara said, no, but like the Queen, she's like mad at him for doing it now. I'm like, you know what I said? He's a grown man. If he wants to quit, he can do what he wants. If he wants to quit and move to the MLS or whatever he wants to do, he can do that, okay? He doesn't, he's a grown man. He can make the decision for his life and just head that way. Like, my thought is, you do you, you're a grown man, you want to make a change in your life, make it. I don't really care. It doesn't affect me. And really, that's the foundation of our entire country to begin with. You think, like, we thought, no, there's the England overlords. We're like, no, we're going to do us. Boom, you're done, and we're going to kill you if you come back. That was our standard thing then, right? And that's kind of been our American way is we're going to do what we want. You do what you want. You don't affect me. I'm not going to affect you. It's not really that big of a deal. But then when we come here to the Gospel of Mark, we see a point in Jesus' ministry in which things turn to get pretty serious. And here's what Jesus says at this point in Mark. He says, okay, you've found out, or you've declared that I'm the Messiah. Now, are you willing to submit to me? Are you willing to lay down you doing you in order to follow me? That's his call here. As he's saying, who's the authority in your life? Are you the authority in your life or someone else? And so he turns to his disciples and he says, listen, or it's verse 34, it says he's calling the crowd along with his disciples. He's telling everyone here, not just his 12, but the crowds who are there following. And he says, if anyone wants to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So what he's doing here is he's saying, full disclosure, following me is going to mean something different than what you think it might mean here, because you're anticipating me to become this political leader, to gain this authority, to kick out the Romans, to you can get your country back, whatever you're wanting the Messiah to be. He's like, it's going to look a little bit different than what you're expecting, and I want you to be okay with that. And so he's kind of giving full disclosure here. So we've all had a Craigslist deal go bad, right? Or when you're looking on a Facebook Marketplace or Craigslist, or someone's telling you about a car, And online, it sounds pretty good. And when you see it in person, it's not quite the quality that you expected it to be based on what they described it as on eBay or whatever it was. I personally have done this, okay? I'm not proud of it anymore. But I was trading. I had a Grand Am throughout college that I commandeered from my sister. And I drove this thing. I put 60, 80,000 miles on it while I was in college. I never changed the oil one time. So it had a pretty hard knock, okay? It was a great car. I really enjoyed that car. I liked it. But I went to go trade it in. We were trading it in for our Civic that we have. And the guy comes out, this salesman comes out with a piece of paper, and he's writing information about my Grand Am, okay? I'm like, dude, just go turn it on and listen to it. You'll know what condition it's in. So he gets out this piece of paper, and he's writing stuff, and he's like, okay, so how many miles are on it, this kind of thing. We got that information. He's like, okay, how often do you change the oil? And I was like, well, of course the answer is I've never done it, ever. But I told him, write intermittent on it. And he's like, what? I was like, just write that. Intermittent, it's good, it'll be fine, okay? I'm not going to tell you how many times I've changed the oil. And so he came back and he said, I'll give you $500 for the car. And I was like, no, I'd rather give it away. But so I have been personally the one who has not described fully the thing I'm trying to sell or give away. But here on Jesus' Craigslist ad here, he's pretty forthcoming, in which he says, if you want to follow me, here's what it looks like. Here's what it looks like. Deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. So a cross for us, we've said this several times in here, but a cross for us is something that's pretty that you hang up on your wall that you bedazzle, or you wear it on your neck, or whatever the thing is that you do with a cross because it's pretty and you hang it behind you on the stage. But for the people back 2,000 years ago, a cross was an instrument of torture. And the person who carried a cross was someone who was already condemned to die, and they were carrying it to their execution site. That's what a cross was. And what Jesus says is, if you want to follow me, why don't you pick that up and carry it with me? That's what he's doing here. And so what he's trying to do is he's trying to say, hey, I'm not interested in painting a rosy picture about what life is going to look like after following me, or what the good things you're going to get, or what I'm not kind of trying to flower up the details of this profile I'm creating here. No, what he's saying is, I am okay with some of you walking away from this. Isn't that a crazy thing? He is stating this in a way to where everyone knows full well what they're walking into with him. And some people are going to walk away from it, and he is not going to run after them. He's going to say, here's the deal. And if you want me, this is what it looks like. And so what he's interested in are not just amassing a crowd and getting a bunch of people to come and just claim him culturally and just say, yeah, God, you know, and would kneel when we get a touchdown and then, you know, claim that as like our Christianity. No, what he's interested in are true and committed disciples. He's interested in someone who's fully in and following him with their life. And so when he says, hey, I want you to deny yourself, what he's saying is, I want you to die to your preferences. I want you to die to your ambitions. I want you to die to your desires, the things that you so desperately want in your life, your, quote, needs that you have in your life. He's saying, I want you to die to that and pick up someone else's mind. And so in essence, here's what he's saying. Following me means the world isn't about you anymore. And it's not about me. He said, following me is not about you anymore. But we're pretty good at making things about ourselves. Like, naturally, we are predisposed to look out for number one, right? We always think about ourselves. We're always worried about where we're at or what other people think about us. Or if you kind of play the game of, like, what happens if, like, you could read other people's minds, you know, what would you think at that point? And most of the time, we think, I don't know, I'd probably feel pretty bad because all the people think bad things about me. And you're like, no. Like, if you really think about it, most people really aren't thinking about you because they're thinking about themselves, right? So what's your first, when you go to the beach, you're on vacation with your family, you get everything out of the car, you get your towel down, your tin up, or whatever you're putting out on the beach, and you get out there, what is your first thought? Do other people think I look good in my swimsuit? What do people think about me? And then you start to get self-conscious. And you get your towel and you wrap yourself up. And then you lay down. And you try to hide yourself. Your first thought when you get to the beach for your vacation is about yourself and about what you look like. For half of us. The other half, their first thought is, my kids are going to drown. The other half are worried about sharks or whatever. And then you got a couple who's down here worried about some guy who's blaring Drake through his subwoofers nonstop, and they're mad about that. But for most of us, your thought is me. Your thought is, what do I look like here? But most people, here's the reality check. Most people are not thinking about you on the beach. Why? Because they're thinking about themselves on the beach, what other people think they look like. That's just where we're at. We're all there. You know what? We were at the beach one time. My dad, I was feeling self-conscious, okay? And my dad said, you know, it's a pretty self-absorbed thing to assume everyone on the beach is looking at you. And I've never forgotten that. And so now I just let everything hang out. I'm like, whatever, I don't care. No one's looking at me anyway. No, but like, that's where we're at. Like, we make everything about ourselves. Think about this. You get on the highway. Someone cuts you off. What's your immediate reaction? Anger. You wanna tailgate them, you wanna put on your horn, you don't wanna do that and just create a scene, but you're gonna think in it in your mind. You're just like, oh, I hate that guy, it's the worst, right? Why? Because that other person dared to live and to be in the lane that you wanted to be in. The highway is yours, and these other people just, they happen to be alive at the time in which the world's about you, right? We're all about ourselves, and what Jesus is saying is, if you want to follow me, that's no longer the case anymore. It's not about you anymore. It's about me. And so if you want to follow me, here's what he says, deny yourself and live for something bigger than you. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and then follow me. That's what he's saying. And so here he's saying, your old life is dead, and if you're truly my disciple, and you'll find new life in me. Your old life is dead, and so find a new life in me. That's what he's saying here. And so when he says, follow me, he says, pursue him with your life. Like, die to yourself, die to your preferences, die to your selfishness, and then imitate him. Seek to become more like him. That is the call here. And so Jesus came to save you from yourself and to give you something better, which is him. That's what he came to do. That's what it looks like to follow him. And there's great wisdom in this. There's great wisdom in which we look down at verse 35 to 38. There's wisdom in this for those of us who are looking to follow him. And so let me read you this real quick, and then we'll go to verse 35. This is in Proverbs chapter 8. And this is what this text is calling out to us to do. Listen to Proverbs. It says, doesn't wisdom call out? Doesn't understanding make her voice heard at the heights, overlooking the road, at the crossroads? She takes her stand beside the gates leading into the city at the main entrance. She cries out, people, I call out to you. My cry is to the children of Adam. Learn to be shrewd, you who are inexperienced. Develop common sense, you who are foolish. Accept my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than pure gold, for wisdom is better than jewels, and nothing desirable can equal it. I, wisdom, share a home with shrewdness and have knowledge and discretion. Wisdom is personified here, is calling out to us, saying, listen to me. Listen, I will show you the pathway towards life. And hear what Jesus is saying, his great wisdom for us, in that he's calling out for us to not waste our life. That's what he's saying here. He's saying, follow me and don't waste your life. And so look at verse 35. Listen to what he says. It says, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life because of me and the gospel will save it. It says, the person who clings to themselves, clings to their preferences, clings to their ambition, clings to their status, or clings to their wealth, or whatever the thing is, you're running after it and you're like, man, Jesus is interesting, or there's something compelling in that, or maybe I'm not interested at all in that because I have this other stuff that satisfies me, or that I'd rather have, these girls, or this team, or this whatever it is, and I'm not willing to lose this. The person who saves his life trying to cling to the last grasp of it, ultimately, in the end, that person will lose his life because he didn't find a new one that will last. He says, whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life because of me and the gospel, and this is two things. One, those of us who choose to follow Jesus and lay down ourselves to pick up a new life in him, but also those who are ultimately killed because of following Jesus. Both are included in this. We'll save it. You will save your life only through picking up a new life in Jesus. That's the only way you'll gain eternity. Because ultimately, every single one of us are going to die. We're all going to die one day. The question is, what happens next? Are you going to remain in the ground? Are you going to go to hell? Are you going to resurrect to a glorious future in which God and heaven and earth merge into one, where you will dwell with him in the new heaven and the new earth forever? Do you want that eternity? And what Jesus says is, follow me, lay down your life now to find new life in me that will last. That's his call here. This is wisdom. Because whoever loses his life because of me and the gospel will save it. And here's what he says, is God is in control. And he has a plan for the future of those who love him. And he continues on, look at verse 36. For what does it benefit someone to gain the whole world and yet lose his life? What can anyone give in exchange for his life? So even those with immense wealth, immense fame, immense status or position, the Jerry Jones of the world, the Rihannas of the world, the Drakes of the world, the Prince Harrys of the world, those who have immense wealth, immense position, will also die, just like me, just like my grandfather did. And in the end, here's what Charles Spurgeon says. Gold is nothing but dust to a dying man. And so if you cling to things of this world, if you cling to something in your life saying, listen, I want this, in the end, it'll be taken away from you. Because when you're dying, nothing matters. When you're dying, gold, the Cowboys, the Aggies, whatever it is, won't matter. What will matter is what you did with Jesus. That's what will matter. And that's what he's saying. He's like, what can you give in exchange for your life? And the answer is nothing. So you need to find a new one that'll last forever. And what Jesus is saying is, find it in me. Follow me. And this is a call to not waste your life. That's what his call is. Is don't waste your life. Look at verse 38. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. And this is his warning here, his warning to us. He says, listen, I want to give you the options. I want you to understand what it looks like to follow me, and that is wholehearted devotion to me and laying down yourself and picking up new life in me and following me and what I desire and what my life looks like and seeking to become more like me. You can do that. But if you reject that, then there's not another option. That's what he says. And so if you're ashamed of me and what I say today, then when I come back in glory as the king, I'm going to be ashamed of you. And so the question is, are you committed? Are you committed? Like, are you pursuing Christ to the extent to where you are laying down your life and your preferences and your wants and everything like you're desiring of? Are you laying that down in pursuit of following Jesus and taking up his desires and his wants to become more like him? Because that is where we find life. That's what he's saying. So as the band comes up, where are you? Are you committed? For those of us here this morning who are there, and we're just like, yes, I followed Jesus. There was a point in my life in which I said, yes, I want to follow you. And I'm not perfect now by any means, but I'm seeking to become more like him. Then here's his call, is press on. Press on. But if you've never made that commitment here this morning, and there's something compelling in this, here's his call. Follow me. So he says, just like he called his disciples, in which he said, listen, I want you to come after me. Come follow me, and I'm going to make you fishers of men. And here's what he says to you. Follow me. And that's the call. Follow him and find new life in him that will last forever. So let's pray. So, Father, we come before you, and we thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus and sending him for us to give us the ultimate wisdom from you to teach us what life looks like, what life should look like for us, and being people who are wholly committed to you and to your ways in the world. And so I pray that you would help us to die ever more, even more so to ourselves, to pick up new life in Jesus, to look more like him progressively over time. And I pray that you would chisel things out of our lives that don't look like you or look like him. And I pray that you would build up within us more Christ-like qualities, because that's for our good and it brings glory to you. And so capture our hearts with this morning, God. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.